So we're going to spend a few moments looking at Mary. I guess you got that already. And this has come out of some work that Debbie's done for her course. She won't tell you this, so I can. So it was back last autumn, and Debbie was having to do, as part of her course, a Bible study for older people. And I was at the time thinking about Easter. I say, I know, you could do it on Mary. I thought, that's a good idea. I didn't tell her at the time, because then when it comes to this day, we can do this together. And then the Tuesday night, this is coming on this Tuesday, the studies we'll do together. It was only when Debbie was into the studies of Mary, I said, oh, by the way, it also means that we're going to be speaking about it together in church, which was made the presentation look a little bit more straightforward, because this is the hairy bit.
Yeah.
But what we're going to be doing is looking a bit about Mary, and as we've been trying to do over this Lent time, just think around some of the characters that have been involved with the Easter story. It's so easy to read the familiar tales and hear the familiar songs and the familiar Bible readings and actually not give it a whole lot of thought. And so we are. We looked at Barabbas, we're looking at Mary, we looked at Peter last week, we're looking at Judas next week, we're going to look at the crowds and what they were doing and what they were wanting in the Easter story. And so we want to think a bit about Mary this morning. Now, some of you get very animated about Mary. You get, we're not going to even entertain that notion. Because I think there are some Christians who think far too much of Mary. But most Christians don't think anywhere near enough about Mary. And so we're going to try and hold that intention a bit this morning by looking at sort of three snapshots, if you like, of Mary's life, and focusing especially on the crucifixion and Mary's feelings in the crucifixion. So I want us to engage our feelings a bit today. And that's a good thing. This is part of worshipping the Lord with all that we have, not just with our minds, but also with our feelings. What were some of the things that she would have felt and she would have experienced? And even some of those, the words that Maeve shared helpfully in our worship, help us to engage with this woman as a woman. And that's what we're going to be thinking about a bit this morning. So we've got the slides up, Dave. I'm feeling a bit nervous now.
Not as nervous as me. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. So I wanted us to think very quickly about a couple of snapshots of Mary's life. They were alluded to in the little monologues. And the first one is about Simeon. Okay? So Simeon's prophecy, the guy who was involved with the circumcision of Jesus, who said, this is what I've been waiting for. And he says to Mary, he has been sent, this is Jesus, as a sign from God, but many will oppose him and a sword will pierce your very soul. And may really helpfully brought that through the life of Jesus and Mary's experience of Jesus. We're going to think a little bit about that. We're also going to think a little bit about this next one, the getting lost in the temple. We know, parents know, the more adults there are, the less safe your children are, because everyone thinks someone else is looking out for them. And this is a great example. It's a biblical example. When they couldn't find Jesus, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him. 3 days later, they finally discovered, 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple. And then the third snapshot of Mary's life, fast forwarding right to the crucifixion, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now, there are lots of different snapshots, but there's just three that take the whole life of Jesus, from his birth to his childhood to his end, and Mary's role in each one of these.
Yeah, so and I know we're focusing on Mary, and obviously Mary's a woman, and there's lots of blokes in the room today. So you just have to get in touch with your feminine side a little bit now, guys, because what we just want you to do is just give a little bit of time to think about what feelings and emotions would Mary, as a mother and as a woman, have experienced in these three situations. And just if you want to have a little chat to the person next to you, if you want to get some inspiration from a lady sat next to you.
We need to say that the men also have emotions.
But
I
think
that we don't have.
No.
And for some of us, they're not buried. I've got one rising at the moment,
have you?
As it happens. This is okay. We can get in touch with our emotions, guys, can't we?
Because I think
you missed a great chance to say yes then. Okay. That was me and Phil.
Yeah. But I think that there's a huge emphasis on the Mary and the mother and the mother's role in life. And I think I've seen some amazing fathering as well. And there's going to be a link, I'm sure, eventually towards that. So just think about at the moment, though, what Mary as a mother would have felt in those three instances. And we might get a few views and opinions of what she might feel. So start
30 seconds.
Chatting. 30 seconds.
Chat. Okay, so
hello.
Hopefully you got some idea of some of the things, the feelings and emotions that Mary is a mother. These apply to folk who, as mothers, as fathers, these are not difficult things to identify with. It's not you haven't got to be a woman to do this, is my point. Okay, so guys who are tempted to switch off, you may not, okay? Because I've engaged with this, and if I can, you can too. So what are some of the feelings and emotions that perhaps Mary as a mother and a woman, rather than a saint, would have identified or experienced in some of these experiences? Just shout out a few. Say me coming to you.
Anxiety.
Panic.
Scared.
Dread. A need to protect your child.
Perplexed.
Yeah. Simeon's prophecy, yes, particularly, yeah. Yes.
Acceptance of the Lord's will.
There were some squeaks over in this side. It sounds like the right answer, doesn't it?
The christening cakes and tea and things like that, why suddenly?
Yes.
Suddenly have to go and say, somebody's going to oppose him.
Yes.
He's going to create problems for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in all that good, that all that celebration, by the way, this is the future. Yeah. Yeah.
Worrying.
Yeah. I think it's interesting when we start trying to engage with an individual as a person. You know, we look back 2,000 years ago and we see, you know, especially some of the art you're going to see, it looks like Mary is somehow completely different from us. And in some respects, of course, she is. That's another sermon for another day. But also, she's a woman, a young girl that's experiencing these things. And some of the things that we feel, the fear, the dread, the perplexed, all those sort of things in our lives, are actually not dissimilar, are they? But there are some themes that are actually really pertinent to us that come out from that. And Debbie's going to pick up on some of those themes in Mary's life. Well, she's going to start at least.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because I think maybe we sometimes do forget just how young at this point of Simeon's prophecy Mary would have been. I mean, the reality of this is we're probably talking of someone who was at the very oldest, 14 years of age. And whilst that seems strange to us in our culture today, that was normal in the culture of the day. So all of those things, what a huge amount of emotion to be going through. But through all of that, one of the things that I think comes out really strongly is her complete obedience to God. Obviously, she would have been a Jew. She would have been brought up being very, very aware of the Torah and all of the words from the books of Moses that are used there. And obedience, I think, comes out as something that she shows in bucket loads. But when we think about obedience today, do you know what? The only time I can think of obedience being used today is when we talk about taking our dogs to obedience classes. It really isn't a word that we particularly like in our culture today. And, you know, how often do we actually hear it? And I think it's probably because we're living in a time when we really don't like to be told what we have to do. We think we can make all of the right choices for ourselves. We hate to submit to the authority of others. But sometimes we have to listen to someone more powerful than us here on earth in terms of law and things like that. And certainly Mary would have been brought up to be listening to the word of God. But sometimes to be obedient to God is not always easy. It's not always going to keep us safe. Obviously, throughout Mary's pregnancy, she was kept safe. But what a difficult time for her. Maeve said about the fact that, you know, she would have been the gossip of the village or the town that she was living in. And the reality is that she could have been stoned for what had happened to her, or apparently had happened to her, from a human point of view. But she was so obedient that she just accepted with grace what God had intended for her. And some would say that she immediately took on the vocation of being the mother of Jesus Christ, which is just phenomenal, I think. I'm trying to think of the things I decided when I was 14. It certainly wasn't that. I'm going to read something from Mary's Way to the Cross. And you may be aware of Mary's Way to the Cross. It's a number of stations. And I'm going to read from the 12th station, which is Jesus dies on the cross. What greater pain is there for a mother than to see her son die right before her eyes? I, who had brought this Saviour into the world and watched him grow, stood helplessly beneath the cross as he lowered his head and dies. His earthly anguish was finished, but mine was greater than ever. Yet this had to be, and I had to accept it. So I stood and I mourned silently.
You know, we need to see the cross and Christmas in the same snapshot, if you like. When that 14-year-old girl was visited by the angel, and the story that we just roll out every Christmas, we dust it off and we bring it out, and then at the end of this amazing news, she says, "Let it be to me, just as you have said." What would that have been? What would that be today? We don't say, "Let it be to me." What would the equivalent be today?
Go for it.
Bring it on. Okay. Can you imagine that? That would be, and then you have the Magnificat afterwards, the prayer of Mary, which just says, "How blessed am I?" When you'll be saying, "What the," wouldn't you?
You are in the presence of an angel, Pete.
Sorry?
You are in the presence of an angel.
I am in the presence of an angel. So maybe it was fear then rather than obedience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think also there's a sense in which the obedience comes because of the faith she's been given as well. You know, faith is a gift. And that she's been given a gift of faith that says, okay, this is what God's purposes are for me. And how often have we said, if God would only make it clear, I'll do it. Have you ever said that or thought that? I don't really mind what it is, where it is, what it costs. If I knew that 100% God said, do this, I would do it. Do you feel like that? It's the ambiguity and all the other voices that make it difficult. Obedience is a theme throughout her life. And actually, looking at some of the artwork, the religious art around Mary, and you see this surrender, this sense of obedience. And surrender is a very related theme to this. Surrender is one of my favourite words for 21st century mission. You might have heard me talk about it a lot. I think it's really, really important. Because actually, faith is not about what I believe. It's about in who I surrender, who I trust, who I give over the right to myself. And we see that. Let me read to you another one of the stations. The crowd had gone. The noise had stopped. I stood quietly with one of Jesus' friends and looked up at the dead body of our Saviour, my son. Then two men took the body from the cross and placed it in my arms. A deep sorrow engulfed my being, yet I also felt deep joy. Life had ended cruelly for my son, but it also had brought life to all of us. I knew this had to be, and I prayed silently.
And we also heard how at the cross, Mary would have been close to the cross. One of the things that we also know of that time is that women just weren't perceived as any great threat to the authorities. So they could sometimes go places and do things that men couldn't do. And she would have been close to the cross. And I can't really quite fathom that as a mother, how you can stand and see your son die before you. I know, you know, over the years when my kids have been ill and they've gone into hospital, I've heard myself saying those crazy words, "If only I could take all the pain and have that pain for you." How often have I heard myself say that? I heard myself saying it only the other day to a child of mine who is very close to the age that Jesus would have been when he was on the cross. You know, in that moment when that child is going through that pain, you would take all of the pain for them. She remained utterly obedient and she surrendered. And in that moment, Jesus looked down on her and saw her suffering and said those words, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And it tells us a little bit more of Mary's life as well, because it tells us that she was a widow at that time. It tells us that that amazing husband that Maeve spoke about, who stood by her, had died before her, because if not, Jesus would not have needed to have made that promise to his mother that there was going to be someone on earth to look after her, albeit that he knew that he would be looking after her from afar. So she surrendered entirely to the will of God, and she watched on as her son had been crucified before her, something that, quite frankly, I just can't really come to fathom.
We can't, can we? But I think there's something also about the surrender is okay when it's giving up stuff that you are happy to give up. You know, if you feel challenged to, you know, to stop lying, that, you know, I could do that. But actually, this is something that she would not have designed, not have planned. She knew it was God's will, but this is her son. And some of the emotions attached to that are very, very powerful. And we're so not like that in many ways, aren't we? And yet in other ways, we're exactly like that, the surrender that hurts. You know, the kind of expectation that God has that to bring a change in our lives that actually means we die to ourselves. That's a very powerful call, very powerful challenge. That's why I think surrender is a very important thing. Mark.
Can I share something for about 1 minute?
Come forward then. Send me a picture, Mike.
This is going to be quite difficult to say. I was a missionary in Niger for quite a while, and my brother is still there. He's been a missionary since he's about 25. He's on the border, Alan will know, between Nigeria and Niger. And Alan will tell you that Boko Haram are pretty rampant along that border at the moment. So he's in harm's way, and he knows it, and we know it. And about a month ago, the penny dropped with my 85-year-old mum, who also knows that too. And I thought, well, what does she think about that? He's a church planter. He brings people into salvation, people who've never heard before. I admire him enormously. He's a very strong person, and he knows why he's there. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows the risks, and so does his wife. And my mum supports him completely. But I realised, I saw the other day, the penny dropped. He's in really serious, potential serious problems. But he won't leave. I think, well, what happens if he gets taken? What am I supposed to do? Because I'm the one who can speak the language and go and negotiate. So these are real issues that we do face. And I think Mary maybe had two sides of it. It's thy will be done. And absolutely terrified at the same time. Sorry about that. But
I'm sorry. I mean, that's, yeah. Oh, we say, Lord, have mercy, don't we, in that situation? Isn't that the same in the garden when Jesus is saying, your will be done, but if there's another way, that would be great. And I think how many times do we... That's true for your brother. Lord, your will be done, but if there was another way. Yeah. How many times does Mary preach to herself, you know?
Yeah.
Surrender. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and then I suppose the third theme that we wanted to draw out was her complete faithfulness. And we've got this rather amazing sculpture up there of Mary sat with the body of her son draped across her lap. And, you know, we just need to keep that faith, the faith that God is. And then that through Jesus Christ we can be forgiven and saved. And I'm just going to read the 14th station. Jesus is placed in the tomb. We brought Jesus' body to a tomb, and I arranged it there myself, silently weeping, silently rejoicing. I took one more look at my loving son, and then I walked out. They closed the tomb, and before I left, I thought, I knew this had to be. It had to be for you. I would wait in faith silently.
I love that last phrase, I would wait in faith silently. You know, I think faithfulness is often silent, isn't it? It's not complaint, it's not praying for change, it's just waiting. And I think those words, and actually I didn't say this to Maeve when we were talking about it, that those words of Simeon that Maeve kept returning to, I think they must have echoed around Mary's heart all her life. And a sword will pierce your very soul. She would have had no idea what that would have meant. When she started seeing the opposition that Jesus' teaching had, she thought, oh, that's what it means. And then maybe when she saw the disciples misunderstanding what the teaching of Jesus was, well, maybe that's what it means. And then she saw him betrayed. Okay, that's what it means. But then to see him strung up and executed and watching for 6 hours her son die, that's what it means. And they often say that Christian faith is an obedience. It's a long walk in the same direction. And you guys, many of you have long stories of faithfulness, of silent faithfulness, even though we walk with limps in that way, in a way though that there are things that have pierced our souls and still do today. Not to compare it with Mary to the nth degree, of course, but to say that God is also faithful. And expects you to be faithful as well, but not alone. And I love that image of the Pietà. I've got another image very, very like it based on that on my wall at home. It's of a guy laying in the same position on a nurse dying of AIDS. It's a photograph done with their permission. And that sense of faithfulness, drawing alongside the broken. Faithfulness continuing even though it's not seeming the sensible thing to do, but God said this is the way for you. Faithfulness, even though the prayers are not always answered the way you want them to be. Faithfulness, though the world isn't as it should be. It takes the courage to do that. We see that courage in Mary. In conclusion, though, there are glimmers of hope. Because she was the first at the cradle. She was the last at the cross. But she was also the first at the tomb. But we're in Lent. So that's for another day. Let's pray together. Father, thank you firstly for Debbie, for the energy and the vision that you've given to her, for the roles that she plays in our hub community. Thank you for this course that's stirring her and raising questions in her about what it means to serve you and to help other people come to know you for themselves. And thank you for this piece of work on Mary. And for what Mary teaches us about obedience, about surrender and sacrifice, and about faithfulness. Forgive us when we've got caught up with all the church politics and we've forgotten what these stories are teaching us about our own surrender to the things that we know you're calling us to give up, the lives that we have, the things that we own, our own perseverance, even though things aren't always as we like them to be. Our own sense of being entitled, thinking that you might be ruining our lives because of your call on our lives. We bless you for Mary, for her testimony to us, which speaks down the generations to our day and age now. And we just ask for something of her faith and her courage, and that your spirit will be in us to continue that work in our lives, that we wouldn't live for ourselves, but something greater, someone greater than ourselves. That the vision that Mary had, that even though there was to be grief and pain and anxiety and dread and fear, she kept her eyes fixed on the vision you'd given her and continually said, let it be to me, bring it on. Lord, may that be our prayer too. Give us the faith to believe as we say these words that you would draw alongside us and give us the power to live our lives, we pray. Let it be to me, whatever you've got, wherever it takes me, whether in harm's way, whether in want or in plenty, whether to a refugee camp or at a stenning, whether to school or to work, let it be to me according to your word. Use us, our skills, our abilities, our gifts, our experience, our love of you and our love of those around us. to honour you and to bring your kingdom close, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.